Our series looking at the characters of Christmas. Today we again come to Luke chapter 2, the second part of the Christmas story. Last week we looked at the first seven verses, and as Bob read them for us, particularly focusing in on the innkeeper and no room for Jesus. Today we pick up the story at verse 8, and we'll be reading through verse 20. The scripture declares, as Luke writes, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary, she treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." Here is reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word to us, and we thank you for the privilege of being together this morning to remember and to celebrate you, your gift to us. Your coming, and the joy that we have through you, the greatest gift that you've given through your Son. Lord, again, we ask your blessing on your word this morning. Quiet our hearts before you as we in your presence have come to hear from you again today. May we be encouraged by this wonderful story and this good tidings of great joy, Lord, for us and for all the world, that our hearts would be encouraged again by the message of your truth and of the joy that it brings. And we ask all glory and praise go to you, our Savior and Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you have a big announcement to make or some really good news in your family or something you want to tell, who's the first person that you call or let know? Like Jake, if you find out you're going to have a baby coming up soon, who's the first person you would tell? Or if you're going to find out or announcing an engagement or something, a big a family news or something exciting to share, who is the first person you would tell it to? Well, God had a big announcement to make. The biggest announcement ever in the history of the world, and that is the arrival of his Son, the Savior, Jesus Christ. And God, as he was going to make the birth announcement of his Son, who he chose to announce it to is somebody that you and I probably would not have picked. We probably would have, well, today it would have been announced all over Facebook, right? And people would have known it around the world in a matter of minutes. But in those days, they didn't have that kind of word to get the news out. But we would have think God would have sent a message to the come rival to the King of Kings to the places of people of power or influence, or maybe even to the priest or to religious leaders of the day. But that's not who God chose. Instead, God chose to announce the first ones to hear the story of the coming of the Savior to a group of shepherds abiding and living out in the fields. Not the people that we would have picked, not the people that we would have chosen, but they were the first to know. And let me tell you a little bit about shepherds and why this announcement to them was so significant. Because they were the least people that you would expect God to take notice of. They were considered religious outcasts because according to Jewish religious law, these men were considered unclean. Their line of work prevented them from participating in the holy feast and in the tabernacle because they were always taking care of the sheep. When everyone else was making the trip to Jerusalem to worship, they had to take care of the sheep, and so they were often banned and not able to go to religious worship services. Not only that, they were considered social outcasts because they had to move from pasture to pasture to graze their flocks, and they were just looked down upon, and they didn't have much contact with other people. They worked 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and always grazing their sheep in the different places. So they were looked down upon and not somebody that we would pick. But this story teaches us some three important truths we want to look at this morning just briefly as we celebrate the coming of Jesus to us. The shepherds being the first to know, as we focus in on this, the character of them this morning, is that we learn first that there's good news to hear. And all of us definitely need good news. In a world, in a year of 2020, isn't it good to turn the news and hear some good news for a change? To hear something good, some tidings of good news and great joy? That's what we all need to hear. And the shepherds were living out in the field, taking care of their flocks, and they were awake at night because they had to watch over them, because they were sheep being vulnerable to attack, that they had to make sure they weren't attacked by wolves or anything that attacked the flock. And so they would often sleep right there with the sheep and to protect them from anybody that would come and try to attack them. So they were living out in the middle of the fields, and their sheep night was disrupted by the angels appearing in the sky with this news. And it says that the angels, as they were out in the field, the angel of the Lord appeared to them. The good news to hear is that the Lord comes to us. And the Lord came to the shepherds in their time, in the midst of their darkness, in the midst of their mundane life, in the midst of doing what they normally were doing, in the midst of taking care of the sheep. God appeared to them, and he wanted them to know that he cared for them. He didn't forsake them. He didn't forget them. They were important to him. Even though the shepherds weren't important to those around them, others in the town, they were important to Jesus. And that's part of the good news of the Christmas story, is that you are important to Jesus. He left heaven and he came to you right where you are. That's the good news, that Emmanuel has come. God is with us. God is with you. In the midst of your mundane life, in the midst of when you think no one else may care about you, in the midst of you think no one else may even notice you, God does. Isn't that good news? That's what the Christmas story is about. That's what we celebrate, that he has come to you. In the midst of our fear, in the midst of our sorrow, in the midst of all that we go through, God has come down. Also, the good news is that the Lord cares for us. He cared for those shepherds, and he cares for us. The Lord has identified himself, and as Jesus came and grew up and lived on the earth, one of the things he said is, I am the good shepherd. And he identified himself as a shepherd of the sheep, that as the shepherd takes care of his sheep, so the Lord takes care of you and I. Psalm 23 says that the Lord is our shepherd, and that psalm so beautifully describes God's loving care for our life. That as the shepherd of our life, he feeds us, he leads us beside the still waters, he cares for us, he nourishes us, he strengthens us. And as your shepherd, he knows your name. We listen and he calls us, and he cares for us. The scripture identifies the Lord as the shepherd of Israel. And oh, what a beautiful picture that one of the reasons perhaps that it was first chosen to the shepherds to hear the news is to remind us that that's who God is. That God is our shepherd. And he wanted the shepherds to even know, to remind them, the care that they gave for their sheep is the same care that God has for you and I. He also calls to us. And that's the good news. And it says that here the angel appeared to them in the midst of their darkness, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said, don't be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be just for you, right? No, it says it's for all the people. This good news and great joy is for everybody. It's a message that I've come, said I care for all of you, and he's calling to all who will. He's declaring himself both as the good shepherd and as the Lamb of God, the Christ the Savior who was born. And the shepherds, the way they tended the lambs would show how Jesus himself would come. It's believed that the shepherds that were watching over the flock in Bethlehem, and remember, Bethlehem was the city of David. David was a shepherd, and he was a shepherd before he became king. And God made David, who was a shepherd, become shepherd of his people, Israel. Again, picture of Jesus. But it's believed that these shepherds who were tending the flocks outside of Bethlehem were the very ones who raised the sheep to become the Passover lamb, not too far from Jerusalem, only about 6 miles away. And so you have the picture of the shepherds raising the Passover lambs, that they were the first ones to hear about Jesus, the shepherd of Israel, who would give himself as the final Passover lamb for our sin. And what a beautiful story. So maybe that's one of the reasons God chose the shepherds first, because it shows his care and what he was about to do and why he came to give himself as the Passover lamb. That he calls to all who will, that the Savior has been born. It's a gift of God to all the people. And the good news to hear is that the Lord calms us. When the angels appeared to the shepherds in the middle of the night, they were terrified. And put yourself in their place. I imagine we would be too, any one of us. We're in the middle of taking care of the sheep in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden the sky lights up, and you see this brilliance and these angels appearing in the sky. And to see an angel in the Bible time, that was not something that, I mean, every time you read it, people were terrified because it was a scary ordeal. And in the midst of that, the Lord said, first words, don't be afraid. And there's a lot of things around us and in our world today that can give us fear. A lot of people, even in the time of COVID, are living in fear. But the Lord says, don't be afraid. I am with you. And he gives us calm and he gives us peace. And then the disciples, in the midst of the storms of life, when they were out in the boat, and the storm came up on the Sea of Galilee, and they thought they were going to perish, and they were scaring out to the Lord in fear. They said, Lord, save us. And the Lord stood up and said, peace. Be still, and the storm's calmed. Whatever storm is raging in your life right now, the good news of Christmas is that he has come to us to calm those storms. He has come to us to bring us peace. He has come to us, and as the angel said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, on whom his favor rests. And that peace that he brings is that peace with God, knowing that our sins have been forgiven, and peace of God that sustains us in the midst of the storms of life. And that promise of peace is given to us through Jesus, the Prince of Peace, who has come. So today we celebrate that there's good news to hear, not just for us, but it's God's gift to the world. Second truth that we discover is that there's a Savior to seek. Because when the angel brought the message to the shepherds and told them these good tidings of great joy, Luke goes on to say in verse 15 that when the angels left them and went back into heaven, the shepherds had to make a decision. And what would you do if you were in their place? If you had heard this good news, you heard the message proclaimed that God had given his gift of peace and salvation to the world, what would you do with that message? Well, when the angels left him and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They said, well, let's go and seek out this Savior that we were told about, this gift that God has given the Messiah who has come. Let's go and seek him. And that's the calling to us this morning, that God speaks to us through his word. And as we come on Sunday morning and we hear his word proclaimed, or as we read his word every day, God is proclaiming his message to us so that we can seek him in a deeper way. Remember, the scripture says in Romans, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when the message is proclaimed, it's so that we will seek our Lord deeper, So we will seek after him and desire to draw closer to him and seeking him and knowing him personally. When the angel proclaimed the message, they said, "This is the Savior who has been born to you. He is Christ and he is the Lord." And he identified him and made it clear that Jesus is the Savior. He has come to be our Savior, to save us from our sins. He is Christ. That word Christ means Messiah, anointed one, the one to whom the prophets predicted, and Lord, meaning he's the one who reigns and is our King. And that's who Jesus is. And getting to know him as our Messiah, getting to know him as our Savior, getting to know him as our Lord. And that's a lifelong journey that we have as we seek him and seek to know him better and knowing where to find him. And as I read this story this week and reflected on it, you know, we've heard the Christmas story so often, and this is one of the stories that maybe many of us can quote and we've heard. But something just struck me in verse 11 and 12 that struck me this time that I never really saw before. I just want to point out to you, as the angel was giving the message to the shepherds about Jesus and how to find him as they were going to seek him, not only to identify who he was as Savior, Christ, and Lord, but he said in verse 12, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Now, we've read over that many times, but something struck me this time. Notice how precise the angel was and giving the direction for them to seek who Jesus was. He said, "You'll find a baby." Well, baby could have been anybody, right? And he said, there's a lot of babies born. So he said, "You're going to see a baby. Look for that. But it's not just a baby. It's going to be a baby wrapped in cloth." So that narrows it down a little more. Say, okay, so there's a lot of babies maybe wrapped in cloth. But then he says, a baby wrapped in cloth lying in a manger. Made it specific. And when God speaks to us, his word to you and me, to seek him, he gives us that specific direction. And sometimes you and I, we can come to the word, we can read the word, and we can be in the same worship service at times, and God can speak through his same portion of scripture, but he can say something different to Sandy than he can say to Gary. Because he's specific to us, because he knows our specific needs. And that just came out to me how specific the Lord is in knowing the need of how to direct us and what we need to receive from him and how to find him and how to respond to him. So seeking him, knowing him personally, and knowing him passionately. Because it said the shepherds then said, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord hath made or has told us about." And they said, "Well, let's going to make a passionate search. Let's go diligently until we find him." They weren't going to rest until they found and sought out the Savior, the King who had come. And that's the same in our regard, in our life as well, to have that passionate seeking of our heart, to desire to know him in his word, to spend time with him in prayer and worship, not only together, but individually. Do you have a heart that passionately seeks after the Lord? Each day we should seek to love him and know him more deeply. So there's good news to hear, there's a Savior to seek, and third, there's a story to tell. Because it says that the angel then, in verse 16, the 18, they hurried off. The shepherds then hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Then verse 17 says, "After they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to him. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." The good news of Christmas is not only we hear know the message of Jesus coming and seeking him and experiencing him for ourselves, but it's a gift, it's a message that God wants us to share with others. He doesn't want us to keep the great gift in the story of Jesus to ourselves. But to share, the shepherds returned and they told everybody because they had found the Savior, they had found what was all been prophesied for all these years. And there's a story to tell of the change that he makes. It says that the shepherds returned, in verse 20, returned back to the sheep, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen, which your chest has been told. I take from that to what Luke was might have thinking he might have been saying is that they went back to taking care of the sheep again. But when they did, their life was different. They were not the same as they were when they went into Bethlehem. They had met the Savior. Their lives were changed. They returned back taking care of the sheep again, but they didn't find it mundane and boring anymore. They returned and they praised God and they glorified Him for what had happened in their life and the change that He made. When you and I have met Jesus, the Savior, hasn't He seen, He's made a change in your life? And the change that He's in your life is so good that we need to share that with others, to praise Him and to tell others of the change that He's made, that they had a new passion and a new people, but also of the joy that He brings. It said they returned praising God, spreading the word of all that they had seen and what they had experienced, the joy that Christ had brought to them. And the joy of Christmas, as we celebrate it, for many people will celebrate on Friday, they'll open up the gifts, they'll have a moment of temporary joy, but then that fades away soon after the wrappings are thrown away. But the joy that Jesus brings is eternal and it lingers. And those of us that have found Christ within this building, we have a joy and a message to share. So this Christmas, think and pray of those that you don't, those in your family. Maybe this year it's going to be different. Maybe you can't get together with family members like you always did. But those that don't know Jesus, those that don't know the joy that you have, think of them and pray for them and an opportunity of how God can give you that opportunity to share the greatest story of the reason why we celebrate Christmas. Good news of great joy for all people. A Savior has been born, and His story to tell to the world and to those around us. As we close our service this morning, we're going to go into a time of the candle lighting to remind us of what